Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello High Rollers is an adventure set in D&D Hell, so will almost certainly contain adult content. Enjoy.
Pleasure to finally meet you, happy boy.
Kelvis?
I thought it would be fun to disguise myself as a little friend. I've heard a lot about you, happy boys. Causing havoc in my hells.
So we haven't been in Kelvis's head at all. We have been in a deception of your making.
That's right.
I knew there was something I didn't like about him. Throwing Star of Domination.
You're attacking Asmodeus.
You know, that's ghoul. He would try.
It's on brand. Roll me an attack roll.
Okay, that was a natural 20.
Oh my god!
Is this the end of
That is my third natural 20 of the day.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow. So your throwing star thuds into his neck, and it just absorbs into his skin, and the wound closes up. And he just looks to you, ghoul. Scoops you up in his hand.
I'm gonna draw my bow. I point it at him and say, Please don't make me kill you.
Nice.
Not the mushroom.
Nice.
Oh my gosh.
And Asmodeus draws a terrifyingly long nail down the point of your little mushroom nose very, very gently. And he flicks you off of his hand. And as you hit the ground, you feel a piece of your soul shatter.
Oh no.
And Ghoul has just lost a soul.
What?
Life.
Oh my god, with a flick.
And using that same finger, he draws a circle in the midair. A portal opens, he snaps his fingers, and you are all sucked through it.
Oh my god!
What?
Hello and welcome to the next episode of Hell or High Rollers!
Yay! Bloody gumdrop.
It's been drawn to my attention that I have a voice that could have its own pirate radio station. I'm Dave Hearn, I'm your DM.
I'm the only D
in the room. And I'm also the Games Master. Let's go round and say something about ourselves, Ellie.
Oh, hi there. My name's Ellie, and I play Ghoul, the 5-inch tall mushroom from the James Woods. And Ghoul has lost a life.
I know.
It's devastating. He never thought he'd see the day.
Does he have a little tail now?
It must be a tail.
Are we all down to one?
No, Eric's still got two.
I still have two.
I'm coming for you, man.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
Hello, my name is Chris Leask, and I play the character of Glubrick Bumbledung, who is a barbarian Goliath. And Glubrick once sneezed and destroyed a whole gnome village.
Oh wow.
Yeah, he feels a bit guilty about that.
A bit?
Gnomes?
Yeah.
As in, like, D&D gnomes who are, like, 3.5 foot tall.
He destroyed a village of...
Well, how tall are they?
They're like small people.
Well, okay, let's do you mean like
garden,
smaller.
Do you mean garden gnomes?
Yeah, like garden gnomes.
Yeah, sentient fairies. Garden gnomes.
Sentient garden gnomes. Right, he sneezed and destroyed their... I don't like how much I've been questioned on this fact.
Hello, I'm Adam Megiddo, and I play the role of Eric Sanguinius, the human necromancer who lives alone in the high-vis tower in the Rodney Marsh. We've been talking about how Eric has various medical conditions. As we know, we all have a pit...
We have a putain.
Every boy has a putain.
As we know, we all have a pituitary gland.
Yeah.
Well, Eric has a pomposity gland, and it is overdeveloped.
Very
He's got an
good.
Overdeveloped pomposity gland. So it's sometimes it's just not his fault.
Oh, okay. Nice try.
Very good.
Noted. I'm going to note that down. This is me typing that down, not Eric's fault.
Thank you.
And I'm Henry Shields, and I play Henley Whispers, a.k.a. Daft Skunk.
Nice.
Black run skier, caged bird freer, the change you want to see in the world, beer.
Beer.
He's going to be the change you want to see in the world.
You have to be the change you want to see in the world.
What change does he want to see?
I'm going to be honest with you, Dave. When I wrote this one, I had no idea what it meant.
Yeah.
And I still don't really. But then I think the answer is that Henley doesn't know what it means. He just tells people, you have
Sounds
to be
good.
The change you want to see in the world. And,
nice.
And then if they question him on it, he just runs away.
Sprints away.
Just turns and runs.
And this is just like create scenarios that he doesn't know how to get out of. Like the thing that he thinks he's in on all jokes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that. My list of things that I've taken down of the attributes Henley has from all my rhymes that I've forced him into because it happens to be the funny thing that week. He's weird now.
Yeah,
he's really weird.
Yeah. If you put them all together, he is unplayable.
He has every phobia. That's in the list.
Yeah.
Every single phobia.
Yeah. He also pronounces it espresso. Let's not forget that one.
No,
luckily, it hasn't come up yet. We haven't found an espresso maker, but if it does...
It is the most offensive.
Yeah, it is.
So before we begin the next episode of Hell or High Rollers, a little bit of house business. You are all leveled up to level 7.
Yay!
Except for Chris. Because he's been a naughty boy going into so many rages and killing people.
It's not
people.
His choice, though. He doesn't mean to. It's not like he's sitting there going, fools, don't realise I just want to massacre.
No, Glubrick isn't, but Chris is.
Yeah. Chris is. Yeah.
So as punishment, you are not ready to be levelled up to level 7. You're not ready for that kind of power.
Wow. Because he's reverting so much.
He's just regressing. Yeah.
Wow.
What we're going to do now is similar thing to Henley Whispers. Whenever you roll a natural 1, you will go into a rage.
Okay.
And just smash everything in the nearest,
that I see,
in the
including the people I'm with. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
wow.
Good luck with that, happy boys.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Wait, we've got. Okay. We can handle this, guys.
So we're now in like Glubrick anger management.
You are, yeah.
Well, Ghoul knows about anger management.
Well, no,
he's
you
had
don't.
A lot of training.
You know the opposite of anger management. You're the last person I should be talking to about it.
But we could just run the opposite of your program.
Yeah.
That must do something.
Just in like backwards, like all the words reversed.
Yeah.
That must do something.
Is that how it works?
Something
must do something.
Something would happen.
Were you back in the day someone who would play records backwards to see if there were secret messages in there?
I wasn't, but you can guarantee that Eric has spent hours.
Yeah.
The number of pieces of bardic music he has listened to whilst watching The Wizard of Oz to see where things coincide.
So good. And on that note, should we begin the next episode of Hell or High Roller? Okay, so you guys were last in the mind of Kelvis Mesley.
Yes.
Now, unfortunately, that companion has been taken away from you because Kelvis Mesley, as we all know, was Asmodeus in disguise.
God.
He tricked us good.
You could say, I did it the gag in the last episode and I'm going to do it in this one. You guys were caught in a trap.
Yeah, we were.
Asmodeus opened the portal for you after taking a life from Ghoul. And you were all drawn and sucked through into that portal. Now, as you swirl and fly through the ethereal space between the layers,
swirling.
Swirl and fly. It's just lovely. I love the way
you
said
it. Now that you boys are swirling and flying around, we zoom out and you can take in the whole expanse of hell. You see the fallen body of the Colossus laying across the mountains of Malbolge. Your ears are filled with the distant sound of explosions and warfare. and looking across to Avernus, you can see that it has been completely lost to the demon advance.
Oh. No, they've... Ooh. Oh,
they are
bad.
Starting to pour into the second layer of Dis. Soldiers are setting up new fortifications on Dis, and Hell's equivalent to sort of civilians are being evacuated into the third layer of Mineros. And you can hear the voice of Thunden ringing in your ears. She is calling out orders and trying to save as many people as she can.
Oh. Thunden. I swirl over to Eric.
Yeah, yeah.
Eric, it's Thunden.
Yes, I can hear her. Whoa. Whoa. The swirling is making me giddy.
Oh, no.
It's just excellent swirling.
Can we swirl towards her?
Yeah, yeah, you swirl towards the third layer and then you are snapped and dragged towards the seventh layer.
Thunden!
Nice.
Very good. Good.
And you fire at breakneck speed towards the ground, and you slam down into a fluffy pile of snow.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh. Ouch!
You find yourself standing on a desolate, icy plateau that stretches endlessly out in all directions. The ground beneath your feet is covered in frost and snow, and the wind cuts at your skin. In the distance, you spot ominous silhouettes of monsters and creatures prowling the frozen expanse. Their forms barely discernible in the icy haze. Glubrick, you feel a sense of peace on this layer. Because, as a mountain Goliath, it's a very familiar world
to you. I'm a mountain.
You're a mountain Goliath.
I'm a mountain.
So Dave is now in the game. Hi, Glubrick.
Hi.
You're not a mountain. You're a man
I
mountain.
I feel so at peace because I'm a mountain.
Yeah, it's nice and chilly here. Brr, and you like it. Okay, bye.
See ya.
Glubrick, who are you talking to?
None of your fucking business.
What? That's the rage thing.
Glubrick.
Sorry, what? Sorry, we
Glubrick.
We were sorry.
We were fools to reverse that anger management process.
I just feel really chill here.
That's the word for it, isn't it? It's freezing.
It is. Let me find out more about this layer of hell by racking my mind and thinking about it with a roll of a natural one.
Brilliant.
Starting the game.
Really got it. Roll number one.
Starting the game with a natural
frickin' one.
So, Eric, however you choose to style this out, you search your mind and you cannot remember a single thing about this layer.
It's really not helpful.
Eric, what about it?
Yes, this lair is called Luke.
Luke.
Wait. I think it's called Luke. And there's a lot of mathematics. And hang on, if I remember rightly, you have to play pool to get through the temple. No, wait. Oh, there's a blind giant with an axe. But the axe only talks on a Tuesday.
Can you roll me a deception check?
Only talks on a Tuesday.
Deception?
Yeah, yeah.
To deceive us.
Yeah, you're trying to deceive the rest of the happy
boys. I'm trying to deceive myself, I think. 13. Yeah. 13.
13. Okay, yeah.
Passive insight, right?
Yeah, it would be. Yeah.
My passive insight's 12, so that fools me. It only talks on a Tuesday.
Yes, what day is it today?
Oh,
mine's 15.
That's a load of bullshit!
How dare you? I am an expert. I am an academic genius.
How dare I? Did you see me take on the King of Hell earlier?
Yes, and what happened there?
Well, I suppose you have a point.
You have a point. A pointed tail.
And yeah, Ghoul starts waving his little tail.
It's kind of cute. You've looked down. I'm making like snow angels in the floor.
Snow devils.
Snow devils. Nice.
Ghoul, yes, you are fortunate indeed that a worse fate did not befall you. You messed with the Lord of Hell.
Yeah, I guess in hindsight, that was foolish.
Why do you think you did get so mad?
Kelvis.
Yes, he tricked us.
There was no Kelvis.
He tricked us. He deceived us all because that is what the Lord of Hell would do. He knows everything that we've been thinking.
He does.
Everything that we've said.
He knows about Commander Face.
Yes,
the switch.
Oh, it's all a disaster. And Ghoul just flops down and puts his face in the snow.
No, come stand, Ghoul. We are not defeated yet. Remember, I know everything there is to know about this lair of hell. Let us make our way to the Crystal Palace of Retribution.
To the Crystal Palace, it is, yes.
Whereabouts is that?
If I remember rightly, it should be this way.
I wrap my towel tightly around myself. I'm pretty exposed to the elements here.
Yeah, you guys, so just to warn you, you guys will be having constitution checks.
Yeah, it's so cold.
The longer you're out in the cold. However, Glubrick will have advantage on these checks.
Okay.
What? Oh.
Because you're used to the cold.
Look, I'm afraid I don't know this terrain at all. It's cold.
What is this stuff? It's like, it's white and it's fluffy.
It's snow.
Snow?
Yeah, you've never seen snow before.
I don't know, the more I'm saying it, it sounds more like a lie.
I take a moment here and I suddenly open my toad bag. Is that crab still there? Is Tiz still there?
Good old Tiz.
Yeah, I really want Tiz still to be there.
Great.
Eric, what have you got there?
What?
I have a crab who writes plays.
Right.
And he pops out and he's like, real chilly here.
Yes, you stay down deep in the toad bag there, Tiz. Mm. We'll call you when it's time because I have found a new lease in life. I was never a writer, but I'm going to do what every failed writer should do. I'm going to be an agent.
Oh, you know what, guys? I'm feeling really calm here. I feel really chill here. And I look into the distance, and can I see a mountain?
Yeah, there are mountains.
I think we need to go there.
He's not wrong. The valley is guarded by two parrots. One speaks French.
And the other?
The other speaks not French.
Not French, yes.
All right, Eric, I take it back. It sounds like you know a lot about this lair after all.
To the mountain.
So you guys wandering off.
Just start trudging through the snow in a random direction.
Okay, where else are we going to go?
Yeah, it's as good as any.
Yeah. Very good. So as you're wandering off in a random direction, can everyone roll me a constitution saving throw?
Oh.
Glubrick with advantage.
I got a 13.
9.
10.
24. So Glubrick is fine. However, Henley, Eric and Ghoul, you all suffer the first condition of exhaustion.
Uh-oh.
You now have a disadvantage on all of your ability checks.
Oh my God.
Until when?
Yeah, until you can get in the warm.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
As you are trudging through the snow, being led by Glubrick, you spot a sort of frail figure shuffling through the snow, punched in sort of tattered robes, and it's clutching a splintered walking stick.
Behold, the parking warden.
Well, Eric, you should take the lead. You know this area so well.
I do indeed. I wrap my cloak around me and I walk towards the strange figure.
Please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me.
Fear not, parking attendant. I mean you no harm. We are the happy boys. Fear us, but also be okay. What are you doing out here so far from your vehicles?
What? Are you not real?
I rolled a one. I have to convince myself that I'm right.
I'm completely on board with this.
This is the whole layer.
Everyone believes me.
Are you not real? Is this real?
Yes, we are real. Yeah, we are the happy boys.
We're real.
But what is your name? Tell us about yourself.
My name is Paul.
What are you doing out here?
I got separated from my wife. I need to find her. I need to get to the next layer.
Ooh. We're going to the next layer too.
Hold on a second there, Ghoul.
What?
We've just spent the last layer being fooled by a fucking tortoise. I don't think we should immediately trust this strange old man on his own in the snow.
Are you the Lord of Hell?
Are you Lord of Hell?
I bloody wish.
I'll be livid if you're the Lord of Hell.
Yeah,
I
won't
be so
happy.
Annoyed.
I promise you, I'm not. Do you think I'd be freezing my bollocks off in the snow if I was a Lord of fucking Hell?
Are you Paul, son of Frank?
What? No. Who is this man? Why do you think I'm a parking attendant?
You've rendered yourself useless.
Trust me. I know what I'm talking about. Let us get to safety collectively. Let us find safety where we may warm ourselves.
Yeah, let's do that. Do you know your way around here?
Like the back of my hand. Is it just like a frozen waste in all directions?
There are like villages and stuff like on mountains, like small kind of settlements.
Oh, what's the closest settlement?
It's just like a very small kind of village with a little couple of lights on.
Should we go there?
Yes.
I think we need to get out of this snow. We're not dressed for this.
I'm freezing.
And sir, come with us. If you're cold, you could get in the bag with the crab.
What?
And I turn to the rest of the
bag. He's not going to fit in the bag, is he, Glubrick? Look at him. Look at the size of him, and look at the size of the bag. Now look back at him.
I'm looking back at him, yeah.
And now look at the bag. Now tell me, do you think one would fit in t'other?
Do you want me to try and put the man in the bag?
No, let's keep moving. If I was Paul, I'd be shitting myself.
So you guys are just walking to this like nearest village.
We're making haste. Very. And I'm using Firebolt to put on fire anything I can to keep us warm.
Okay, well, great. I was going to make you another roll another Constitution saving throw, but I'm going to say that, yeah, Eric using Firebolt to kind of keep you warm at least as you're moving through.
So it's like swirling around us.
Yeah.
Nice.
I can keep doing that as a cantrip, so I can keep some fire.
Oh, great.
So you guys arrive at this kind of little village, and it's very, very small. It's only a few little kind of huts, and there's like a little tavern with an open fire.
We haven't seen a tavern in ages. Let's get in a tavern.
Yeah,
we go in.
Great. You go into the tavern, and it's littered with your classic icy devils, ice mephits, I believe they're called.
Ice mephits. Oh, yeah. I can summon one of them now.
Oh,
can you? I've gone up a level.
Ooh.
Okay.
And you pop in, and Paul just bursts in, runs straight to the fire, and starts warming his hands.
I run to the fire. I try and hood some of the heat into my towel.
Yeah, nice. You know? Like, hold it in.
Yeah, hold it in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to get hold of some cold weather gear.
Yeah, yeah. You can get some cold
weather
gear.
Oh, yeah, you're really going to freeze quickly, aren't you?
I'm just going to have to put some trousers on.
Yeah. What about that hair? Do you have that pelt that I can wrap that around myself?
Oh, I do have a hair. Yeah. I have a dead hair. Can someone fashion this into some gloves, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to try and fashion the hair into something?
Yeah, I want to do some, what's that called? Tanning, maybe?
Yeah, so roll me a survival check. You have to skin the hair.
I'm going
to
skin a hair. 14.
14. Yeah, it's you know, if this was a video game, it would be sort of like 2 stars. Oh. out of three. It's like medium.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like medium.
I was thinking like 2 stars out of 10. I've shoved my hand into a dead hair.
You've got like that's medium quite quality. Yeah. You know, it's like you've got one buff kind of thing.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm on my way to a full hair suit.
You've got the skin.
Oh, I've got the skin. Okay, yeah. So now I need to, you know, spend several hours drying and tanning the skin.
Yeah. So you guys,
it's a long process to make gloves.
So while Henley's doing that, you sit down with Paul at the fire, and he's just like, so how did you guys get here?
You haven't heard of us. We've been on quite the journey.
Oh, you say you're the happy boys?
Yes.
Oh, you've been making your way through the layers, is that right?
Oh, yes.
We plan to get out of hell.
And now you're here on Maladimini.
Maladimini? Eric? I thought you said this layer was called Luke.
Ah, yes. Twinned. With Maladimini.
He's quite convincing. Like, you're even making me believe it in the room. I know it's madness, but I'm like, could be, yeah. Fair.
Yeah, could be, why not?
Do you know where the portal is?
Oh, yeah. It's in the palace of Ice Tyson.
Ice Tyson.
who's the Ice Tyson?
Ice Tyson's one of the three archdevils.
Three archdevils?
Oh, yeah. You don't know anything about Maladimini.
Well, Eric, I didn't mention any of this. You didn't mention anything about three archdevils.
Well, because you have to get past the valley with the parrots first.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
then there's the tantric owl.
Who's your mate?
He's the cleverest one in the room.
I'm gonna walk away.
There's no parrot.
I'm going to the bar. You guys carry on.
Right, okay. So what happened to your wife?
She went through portal and then the portal closed and I couldn't get through and I'm trying to get to my wife.
Why did it close?
Because the three archdevils that run this place, it's a council of archdevils, they've all fallen out. And you need the archdevil's permission to get through Leia. Just as they had this big falling out, they closed the portal and said nobody else goes through.
Oh, they fell out in between the time that your wife went in and you went in? It's a quick argument.
No.
That was the moment at which the conversation was happening.
We went through the proper process.
And you just mistimed your stepping through.
Absolute nightmare. Got me ticket and everything. Filled out all the forms.
There's tickets.
Yeah, there's tickets. You've been from layer one to here. You've not gone through this.
There were no tickets. At no point did we see a ticket booth.
On every layer, there's a process. There's a process to get through.
What?
How have you been getting through?
We've been doing a lot of killing, a lot of massacring.
There's forms you have to fill out.
Eric, come back from the bar. What? I feel like you should have been dealing with this the whole way.
Can I come back with a round of drinks?
Yeah. Got everyone a round of drinks.
Eric, there's a ticketing system.
I told you, he was a parking attendant.
But so on every single layer, there's been like a ticketing system to get through the portal.
I look down at my drinks and then I drink and go, yeah.
So you knew this the whole time?
Well, I know many things. I can't be accountable for all of them.
You can't be accountable for all the things you know.
I mean, that's a bit of a catch-all. Well, I feel like you've got to be accountable for some things.
Well, fair enough. But I have many thoughts in my time. I have a considerable intellect, you understand. So I can't carry it all myself. That's why I had a tower full of people to help me with it. But now, no more. No more, I say wistfully. And drink, hoping that they'll feel something for me, like pity.
Yeah, I think it works. I think I kind of, yeah, I feel a bit bad. Oh, it's all right, Eric. Don't worry. Thank don't
you.
Worry.
Wait, so you're saying that the portal isn't open now?
At the moment, no. There's a feud between the three archdevils.
What about?
Well, there's a lot of lying and stealing. You know, one of them is a business person. They think somebody else stole an idea. One of them's a vicious fighter, thinks the other two's out to get them. And the other one thinks she's the only rightful devil. She's the only devil out of the three of them, so she thinks she's a rightful archdevil.
What are the other ones if they're not devils?
Well, one's a dragon.
Oh!
One's a half frost giant, half Goliath.
Wow, so like a big me.
Yeah, like a bigger version of you, yeah.
Ooh.
Although, you know, not all Goliaths look alike.
No.
They're all different.
I know that.
Well, I didn't say that.
I didn't say that. No, no one said that.
Well, I did.
I feel like you're thinking it. You know,
I think it was maybe overcompensating. Yeah.
We need to reunite them to get back through portal. I'm just a man walking through snow.
We've got to go on a sort of reconciliation mission. Get these people back together.
Guys, isn't this weird? This isn't a hooch, a gooch, a looch, a mooch. Why is this guy doing it?
What's
have you not noticed there's been a constant theme? And what? Then suddenly we've got a hoochamoochalooch.
Maybe they ran out of letters.
And suddenly the door to the tavern bursts open.
Nice.
And there he comes in, like, really out of breath. He's like, okay, there you guys are.
It's fine, we've already covered it.
You don't need me. You don't need me to explain
good.
Anything.
This old man told us.
The old guy's... All right. Man, it's cold. All right. You let me know if you guys need anything, okay?
All right, can I get a jacket?
Oh, yeah, okay. And he takes his jacket off and he hands it to you and he's like, all right, good luck, guys. And he walks out the tavern.
Wait, what were you?
I checked the label of the jacket. Can I see the name?
Yeah, it says Cooch.
Cooch.
Nice.
Have we not had Cooch?
If we have had it, this one's with a C or a K.
Okay, okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. It seems that we have... Some goals mutually align. Mm. We could all perhaps travel together and help each other to progress to the next layer.
Yeah,
I'd like that. Okay. And I'm an honest man. And he looks over to Henley and he sees the coin hanging round your neck. Mm. He's like, you got a soul coin there?
Yes, I do up my shirt like Frodo and hide it.
You drilled a hole through that soul coin.
I may have.
Whose coin is that?
Why are you asking?
Because I might be able to help you fix it.
Fix it?
I might be able to repair it for you if it's something that's valuable to you.
I undo my shirt again.
Oh, that's enough. No, no more.
I take my shirt off. No, look, yeah, I did drill a hole in it, foolishly. I didn't think it through.
No. Do you know who that belongs to?
Belongs to my son.
You drilled a hole for your son? That's crazy.
I'm just trying to hang it on a thing around my neck. It was a spur of the moment thing.
He just wanted some jewellery.
But that's the problem. It's all just he doesn't really think about his son.
Hey.
Oh, sorry. Rick. Sorry.
The rage is coming out as passive aggressive. Yeah. All right. Look, I make you a deal, okay? You lot get me and yourselves through the portal to the next layer. I'll fix your son's soul coin.
How will you fix it?
I've got powers.
You've
right?
got powers?
Yeah, I've got what? Powers.
What powers?
You've got powers, mate. What does that mean?
All right, fine. I won't fix your coin.
No. I just wanted more details.
I can take a bit of your soul.
Of my soul?
And replace it in the coin.
This is why I fucking ask, isn't it?
Yeah, but it won't be like a whole shard or a whole... It's just a little piece.
Now, how does a parking attendant think he'll do that?
I'm not a parking attendant!
Hold on. I have another soul coin. I have Captain Pellew's soul coin.
Ooh. I can take a piece from that and put it in if you like.
Ooh, what do you want to do? Figure for Sam?
I want to save this decision for later. No, put them both away. So you'll do that if we get to the end of the layer.
As soon as we get through that portal, I'll fix your coin. And he offers his hand to shake.
Anything suspicious going on here?
You can roll an insight check.
I'm very suspicious since the fucking whole Asmodeus tortoise thing.
That's fair.
Five.
You notice nothing about the handshake. Nothing untoward.
I shake his hand.
And nothing happens.
Okay.
You explode.
You explode into a billion pieces. Nothing happens.
So the way of getting the portal open, I assume, is to like what get everyone talking again,
the Council of Archdevils back together
to be friends.
To be friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we should go and speak to one of them.
Where's the nearest Archdevil?
So you got three. All right. You've got the White Dragon Queen called Rude Paul.
Very good.
All right. Now she is a highly successful model and business dragon. She makes business ideas. people pitch her business ideas.
So
that, that sort of thing. The other one is the half Goliath, half frost giant named Ice Tyson. He's a fierce warrior. He's a champion fighter. All right. And he's convinced that the other devils want to kill him and take over.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's not good.
The other one is an ice devil called Lady Sub-Zero Susan. Now, she's from a long line of ice devils. She believes she's the only... Well, she is actually the only devil. She believes that she's the rightful archdevil to the lair. And they've all fallen out. Rude Paul thinks they've stolen her business ideas. Ice Tyson thinks everybody's trying to kill him. Lady Sub-Zero Susan thinks she's the rightful heir. Now, the closest one is Sub-Zero Susan's palace.
That's I was thinking that one. That's good. I thought that seemed like my favourite of the list. I thought that one sounds fun.
Well, Henley, would you like to go?
I want to go to the most fun one, Glubrick. I want to go to the most fun one.
I think
one.
It's fair we take you to the nice fun one.
Yes.
I do think it would be good to go to the Goliath one, though. Because, you know, just putting it out there, maybe they might be able to help me with this whole rage thing. Because I look at all you guys and you look shiny and like you've gone up a level. And I feel like I've kind of just stayed the same. A mouldy old sack.
Oh, Kubrick, don't talk about yourself like that.
I know, but I'm really worried about this rage. Because, you know, what happens if I get a bit mad and I... Oh, I should probably warn you, Paul. On this journey, there is a chance I could kill you. So just be warned about that. But, yeah, why don't we go to this crystal... Is it Crystal Palace? Is that what we call it?
Yes, the Crystal Palace. I know a way in through the catacomb of hors d'oeuvres.
This is going to turn into fucking Glubrick and Candyland again. Yeah. Paul...
Right, yeah, hello.
Where do you think Queen Susan is?
She's in the Ice Palace.
Ice Palace, that's
ice
the one.
Ice Palace.
The Ice Palace, right. Not the Crystal Palace. Ice Palace.
You made of ice, that. Yeah, that's
made
right.
Entirely of ice.
Yeah, this guy gets it. Yeah,
yes.
You know, he knows.
Yeah, I'm an expert.
Where is that?
And he looks out the window and he says, over yonder.
Over yonder.
All right, I pull on my new hair skin gloves.
Roll me a sleight of hand check.
That's 27.
27? Yeah, these are pretty
best,
sick
the
gloves.
Best gloves.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to say, whilst you're wearing those gloves, add one.
Add one to my constitution roll.
Yeah, in the cold.
Excellent.
When I was at the bar earlier, I just asked, who's working at the bar?
Little Ice Mephit.
Little Ice Mephit.
Yeah.
Do they sell clothes, warm clothes here or anywhere in the village?
Yeah, they've got parkas, hats, gloves.
In the tavern, great.
So, you know, like, you know, you're on like a ski lodge almost.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, should we get some of them?
Yeah.
How do we pay for it?
Well, this coat is definitely too big for me.
Oh, because you're wearing Cooch's jacket.
Yeah, I mean, it just got thrown over the top of Ghouls. He's been just underneath a jacket this whole time.
I thought he was unusually quiet.
Guys,
sorry. Get that. What do we need for you, little ghoul? What can we do to keep you warm?
That's so sweet.
Maybe some kind of thermal flask.
A thermal flask?
What, so just what, put you in the flask?
Put me in the flask, Gloopy.
I'll go to the bar. Do you have anything for keeping drinks hot or cold?
Yeah, we've got this thermal flask.
Oh, perfect. Can I have that?
No, you've got to buy it.
Could I get a hot chocolate?
Yeah, absolutely.
Does it come in a thermal flask?
Yes.
Great.
And he brings the hot chocolate over and he's like, your mate over there's still got to pay for the tab.
Okay, he will. I take the hot chocolate in its thermal flask.
Yep.
When he walks away, dump out the hot chocolate.
Yep.
Pop it a mushroom.
Okay, ghoul hops in.
And I'm going to steal this flask.
Okay, great.
Yay!
Yeah, yeah.
And then I can cast heat metal and keep myself warm.
Oh, nice!
Nice.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
So I'm going to put this flask, can I just pocket it without
hold me, no. Hold me out.
Okay. Yeah, but then they're going to see that I'm stealing the flask.
That's all right. Confidence is key, Henley.
Also, if you're heating metal whilst he's holding it, he'll take damage.
No, that's all right.
Okay, are we all ready?
Yeah.
Yes, I've got to pay for drink. Do we have any money on us at all?
I can't remember.
No, you've got. You have to pay with soul shards.
Oh,
so you,
soul
you
shards.
Could, oh, no.
You could pay with Pelu's coin.
No way. Pelu's,
see how many money we've got?
I did not think
let's run.
Buying a round of drinks would have caused us so much trouble. I got carried away.
So I'm just going to run at the door and just kick it down.
Just going to kick the door.
I'm going to be like, come on, let's go.
And the wind blows in and everyone's just like, close the door.
What door? Rip it off its hinges. outside, is there a sled? I need to know if there's a sled.
There's a sled.
Everyone jump on the sled. And I put a harness on. And what? I'm pulling everyone through.
You're pulling the sled.
Oh my god, amazing.
I'm pulling the sled.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not affected by the cold.
Okay, great. So yeah, you're on the sled. You're kind of pulling everyone like Santa's sleigh kind of thing. You're reindeer.
Oh, great. And I've got ghoul in a flask that he's heating, so I can use that to keep me warm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Did we get any warm clothing?
Did you try and steal anything? Paul hasn't tried to steal anything.
I didn't try and steal anything, but no. I just found out that there was something.
No, wait, you can have Cooch's jacket.
Okay, yeah, I can take keep firebolting for my...
Yeah, and Paul is just kind of like huddling in with you guys. Before you get on the sledge, you just see Cooch, and he's like, you sure you don't need anything, guys?
Okay, you get one thing. If you want to tell us one thing, what do you want to tell us?
All right, the lair is called Melodomini.
And we're done, and...
Some warm clothes would be nice!
I've pulled you away.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You guys tear off into the snow.
Mush, Blue Brick, mush.
It's mushroom.
Okay, someone roll me a d20.
Me!
Very funny, very funny.
Very good.
13.
It's a 13.
Underwhelming number.
Okay, can you roll me a d4?
A 4.
A 4, okay. Mm-hmm. You encounter some...
Random encounter.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
You encounter some glamorous...
What?
Oh, this is like...
Like Mad Libs.
You encounter some clumsy, glamorous yetis. There are two walking, wearing like tiaras, and they just glamorous keep falling yetis. Over. And you're like heading straight for them, and they're like roaring, but they look amazing. They've got like capes on,
oh my gosh,
and like lovely little boots. They're really, really clumsy. They will attack you, but they're really clumsy.
I mean, I will say, I'm seeing a lot of yeti fur we could fashion into a whole yeti
sleeping
suit.
Bags.
He's killed the hair off, and now he's just like, let's just skin anything.
Felt terrible about the hair, but the yetis, I think that's fair game.
Well, I wouldn't mind one of those tiaras.
How strong is a yeti? Eric?
Let me consult my manual.
Yeti
How strong is a yeti? What do I know about the yetis?
Again, let's say another history check.
So 15.
15, yeah. You can tell that if you got in a fight with these yetis, your party could probably take them.
I think we should go. We never do this. Let's pick a fight.
Let's fuck them up!
But also remember that you will be fighting in the cold.
We've got some
Yeah, you've
stuff.
Got some protection. You've got some protection, yeah.
Yeah, Ghoul's got his flask.
I think it's worth it.
Yeah, let's do it.
I take the flask, I put it on my shoulder like a little Stinger missile.
Yeah, no.
Mushroom cannon.
Woo! Okay, great. Yeah, yeah.
A little mushroom cannon. Yeah. Have Glubrick punch the back. Yeah. Fire up.
Glubrick, punch the back.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Punch okay, so back. You're going for like a surprise attack on these. So we're doing this. We're fighting these yetis.
Absolutely. Let's do
go.
It.
Okay.
So surprise attack.
Why not?
Nice. Yes. Okay, so I'm going to say everyone gets a surprise round. And then everyone will have to roll me initiative. So everyone gets a free turn. These clumsy, glamorous yetis are there doing each other's makeup. They haven't seen you yet.
doing each other's makeup in the middle of an ice field.
Clumsily, like spreading lipstick all over each other's faces.
Painting each other's faces, trying to like comb knots out of each other's fur. But they're just
they're
like...
kind of endearing.
But don't start on that. Gotta kill these things and skin them.
Okay. But they look absolutely fabulous whilst they're doing it. They look amazing.
All right.
Okay, cannon
Let's
loaded
go.
On my shoulder.
Woohoo!
Loaded.
Do you want me to punch it?
Yeah, you're the power.
So I stop the sleigh. Punch.
Okay, great. So you roll me a strength check, Blue Brick.
I think we all got nervous there, but that would be a natural one. But no, it's fine. It is a 15.
15, nice. And if you roll me an attack roll like you would with a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
28.
Oh my god.
Absolutely blitzes through. So there are two yetis. Which one are you aiming at?
Left yeti.
Nice. And they have little t-shirts on that say left and right.
Good. Don't make them endearing.
What a confusing image. They already are.
Yeah, they've got little emoji faces on them, like one's winking at the other one. And so what's Ghoul doing?
Okay, well, Ghoul is being fired out of this makeshift cannon. So he launches through the air, and I'm going to use my symbiotic entity with my halo of spores. So I get to just add another D6 to my damage.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I've been launched towards Left Yeti.
Nice. Left Yeti is taking, what, 2D6?
Yeah, so 2D6, and yeah, a bunch of spores just burst out of my body and
fucks
it up.
And is that a constitution saving throw?
It is.
Yeah.
Constitution saving throw from the Yeti is 10. Okay. And I'm going to guess that's not enough.
Not enough.
So you're slamming into Left Yeti.
Left Yeti's.
With your Halo Spores, which is 2d6.
Yeah.
And your Infernal Curse, which is now 7d6.
Oh my god.
So 9d6 damage.
Yeah.
Oh my god, he is a mushroom missile.
Okay, 35 damage.
35 damage on one Yeti. So yeah, you slam into a Yeti. They are not looking good, and they're just like...
I also, as a barbarian, get two attacks. So
nice.
Could I punch that thing and also throw an axe?
Yeah, you can throw an axe.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe throw my javelin.
So yeah, throw your javelin at left Yeti or right Yeti?
Right. Have you just seen the left take some brutal damage? Maybe
great.
We'll go for the
roll
one
me
on the
to
right.
Roll me to hit.
17.
17, that hits. Roll me for damage. Guys, we're playing D&D.
Crazy.
Six damage. Your javelin thuds into the Yeti's arm and it just snaps it off. Now they have seen you and Eric is yet to act with the final go of the Happy Boys.
Is one of these Yeti covered in spores that might be flammable?
Ooh.
Yeah, let's say, I don't know if the spores, yeah, let's say the spores are flammable. Why not? Yeah.
So I'm going to cast Firebolt. So at 14.
14, yep. So that beats the Yeti's armor class.
Then it's 2d10 plus whatever... But and then hopefully they are ignited on fire. 10 in total.
10. It's not quite enough to take the Yeti down. So you hit Left Yeti. Yeah. Left Yeti ignites.
Yeah, great. It's gone up.
Okay, I just rolled a dexterity check for Left Yeti and they got a 2 because they're very clumsy.
Yeah.
And so Left Yeti falls into Right Yeti.
Oh, great.
Oh, God, and we're going to burn up the hide we were hoping to wear.
Yeah. We deserve this. We're idiots.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Left Yeti is now set fire to Right Yeti. Oh. They're like hugging, falling into the snow. They're trying to roll round and put the fire out.
They'll put it out.
However, Paul has a go. Paul rolled a natural 1 on his initiative.
Typical of a parking
so,
attendant.
So he sees you fire. He sees Glubrick throw his javelin. He sees Henley mounting the shoulder cannon and then the firebolt. And Paul just goes, right, better get in here then. And he stands up and he slips off the sled and lands on the floor. And he's like, right, sorry about that. I'll get stuck in next, girl. You guys keep doing what you're doing.
Oh,
he's one of the Chuckle Brothers, isn't he? He's Paul Chuckle.
Now, the Yetis have a fear of fire.
So
now the Yetis are like clumsily trying to get to their feet. But you guys had a surprise round, so you get another go. Everyone roll me initiative.
All right. 3.
21.
13.
18.
So it is Henley to go first.
Okay. So they're on fire.
Yeah, they're on fire. They're rolling around in snow trying to put themselves out, but they're very clumsy, so they keep falling over.
I want at least one of them to put themselves out so we don't lose all the fur that we're trying to get hold of.
Yeah, this is true. Burn old fur.
Okay, well, I'm going to shoot Left Yeti again.
You're going to smash Left Yeti. Great. Roll me for attack.
Longbow, 28.
28, that hits. Roll me for damage.
Okay, that's 6 damage, and then I add my Dreadful Strikes. Total of 8 damage.
Great, so your arrow flies through the air. Left Yeti is rolling around, getting up, also trying to still put lipstick on to look glamorous. And
sticking with that.
you anticipate Left Yeti's move, and its head moves into the path of your arrow and thuds into its head, and Left Yeti, with a simpering whine, falls dead.
Left Yeti is down.
Oh, Henley, how could you?
They're monsters. I'm not gonna get upset about these ones.
They could have been lovely little pets.
Second attack, Right Yeti.
Onslaught. Going for the Right Yeti. Go for it.
21.
That hits.
Okay, make it quick.
15 damage.
Right Yeti is still on their feet with an arrow sticking out of their chest.
There you go.
On fire. And Right Yeti sees Left Yeti down. Oh. And lets out a terrible, terrible roar. Picks up Left Yeti's lipstick and starts putting it on.
What is it with the lipstick? Focus.
What are they doing?
They're so glamorous. What are they doing? They've not had a turn yet. I'm trying to define why they haven't had a turn. Their initiative is so low. Left Yeti literally has a turn with glamour. Attack.
Let's just let him have one turn to put himself out and then kill him.
Yeah, I'd say Left Yeti is being put out in this, like, is going out in the snow.
Sure.
Not out yet, but he's going out.
Sure.
I'll cast Chill Touch, which is necrotic, not cold.
Okay, great. On right Yeti. Roll me an attack roll.
19.
19, that hits.
8 points of damage.
Right Yeti takes 8 damage, and it knocks the lipstick out of its hands, and your Chill Touch, and it's angry now. It finally turns its focus towards you guys, but it is Glubrick's turn.
I'm just going to throw some snowballs at them to try and put out the fire.
Oh, good idea, yeah.
Snowballs, yeah.
Cute.
Yeah, okay, so I'm just kind of... I can do 2 attacks, I throw 2 snowballs.
Yeah, great, so you're throwing snowballs at them. So yeah, roll me a ranged attack roll like you with your javelin.
So first one is 24... Second one is 23.
Yep, they both hit. And I'm going to say a snowball does a 1d4 of damage.
Great.
1d4 each.
3
damage in total. Yeah, and the fire is going out, so you're going to have slightly better quality skin.
Good. A good go.
It is now finally Right Yeti's turn.
Oh.
And who's closest to Right Yeti?
It's going to be Ghoul. It's going to be.
Oh, yeah, Ghoul's in the mix.
He's been trying to not get crushed.
Okay, so the Yeti rises up to its full terrifying height and swings its claws down at you.
Okay, so before you do that, can I use my reaction to do another Halo of Spores?
Oh, wow. Right, okay.
I can do that.
Damage.
Yeah.
So he will take a constitution saving throw and he rolls a 9.
Okay, yeah, that doesn't pass.
So roll me 2d6 damage.
Okay, it's only 4.
Okay, these poor glamorous Yetis are getting absolutely hammered. But, Ghoul, what is your armor class?
It's 12.
Okay, great. So it swings 2 claws at you and they both hit.
Yeah.
It slashes at you. The first attack does 9 damage. The second attack does 12 damage.
Wow.
How many times does it touch Ghoul?
So, yeah, it will have touched you now. So 7d6 damage on those,
okay,
on those two attacks. It does have one more action, but let's see if this takes it down.
11. 21.
With 21 damage, the Yeti screams in pain. It falls to the ground. It grabs its lipstick. It offers it out to you.
Yes, I will take it.
And it dies. And you have surprised and just mullered these clumsy, clumsy Yetis. And Paul gets to his feet, raises his fist, and is like, right, who wants some then?
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
You're welcome. And he gets in the sleigh.
We absolutely ruined those Yetis.
We did. Woo-hoo! Now, for our prize, we must skin these these poor, beautiful-looking
monsters,
monsters. Are they monsters?
They are, according to the rule book.
They are large monstrosity, chaotic evil.
They're evil. That's the thing. That's why we killed them.
Oh, they didn't seem evil.
No, they seemed lovely. But
they did seem lovely. Where were they coming from? What was their whole story? I'm curious.
I take out my axe and I hack it.
Oh.
Okay, so you're going to try and skin one of them.
Well, I think so, yeah.
I'll skin the other.
We can make some nice boots.
Okay, so both of you roll me survival checks.
Is anyone particularly good at survival? Because I'm not. I should be.
I've got plus 8. I'm amazing at it.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You get Ghoul do this.
Yeah. Don't worry. Leave this to me. And Ghoul tries to pick up Glubrick's axe and just immediately.
So Ghoul is trying to use the axe to like cut through the skin.
Can I offer Ghoul a little knife?
Yes.
I have a knife.
Yeah, yeah. Like a little pocket knife.
A pocket knife.
It's going to take hours.
No.
But actually, because you've got a plus 8, so roll me a survival check.
Yeah.
And Glubrick, you're doing the other one?
Yeah.
Oh, I got a 19. Okay. So that's what is it? 27.
27. So yeah, you get an absolutely almost perfect pelt coming off there. Big Yeti pelt. And what does Glubrick get?
I got an 8.
An 8. So
I just turn it inside out.
You just
perfect. Done.
You essentially get like a sort of pair of shorts. Ghoul's one is almost like the Yeti without a body. Do you know what I mean? It's just like the skin perfect.
Great. We've got a massive thing. Let's make a 3-piece suite. An armchair, sofa.
I thought you were trying to say suit, but you said it wrong.
Now, you've been out in the cold for a while, so you're going to have to do another constitution saving throw.
I mean, I've been on fire a lot, so does that count?
I think you're actually Ghoul is okay.
Yeah.
And Glubrick at advantage.
21.
You're fine.
Only a 10.
So having recovered from in the tavern, you go back to the first stage of exhaustion,
okay.
So you will have disadvantage.
Oh,
feeling pretty chilly.
Henley curls up in the snow and goes to sleep.
In the snow or in the Yeti?
In the snow. Deal with it, guys.
Yeah, I pick him up and I put the shorts I've made onto his penis. I don't. What would you call it? What? Like
legs.
Crotch on his legs.
Don't get legs and penises confused.
And I'm just curious, what's Eric doing while all of this skinning and stuff is happening?
I think Eric is a bit regretful that we killed these Yetis.
Oh, now he says it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say anything. But I think I'm musing on the nature of mortality.
Mm.
And he sort of just looks at them. They were indeed dedicated followers of fashion. Very thoughtful.
Yeah, great.
Oh, and actually, we'll say, because they were so glamorous, that you see that they had on the backs of their t-shirts, they had Rude Paul written across
it.
Oh, okay. So they were part of Rude Paul's, glamorous entourage. Dragon drag queens.
I get you.
But that's not who we're going to.
No. Not at the
not
moment.
Right now.
No, you're going to Lady Sub-Zero Susan.
So stick on the harness.
Yeah.
I curl up Henley with his shorts onto the sleigh.
Yeah, can we cover him with the pelt that I made as well?
Yeah.
Wrap him up like a little burrito.
Paul climbs in there with you as well.
Great. And I'm curled up like a toddler.
Yeah.
Being draped and taken to bed.
I love how he's just instantly fallen asleep.
He's exhausted.
Yeah.
First stage of exhaustion is too much for him. He's done.
He's just like, you know, there are six stages.
Yeah.
So the first one, he's like, oh, I'm going to have a nap.
Yeah.
Ghoul, having put the lipstick on, also gets carried away and takes advantage of Henley being asleep. So he just starts drawing on his face.
I don't even notice.
Draws a mustache and a pair of glasses.
Is there any spare Yeti fur?
Yeah, there's loads, right?
Yeah. The ghoul got a decent amount. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just gonna try and fashion a blanket.
Yeah, nice. So you wrap it round you with Paul and Henley. And you guys all together.
Yeah, I'm just gonna sit and have a chat with Paul. To know Paul.
Okay, great. Yeah. So yeah, you guys are heading towards
the
Ice Palace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bumping along in the sled.
So tell me, Paul, how did you get into the parking game?
What is this parking game? I'm not a parking attendant.
What do you do then?
I'm a very amateur necromancer. That's why they sent me to hell.
Are you indeed? You may have heard of me. Were you when you were in the mortal plane, perhaps? You heard of Eric Sanguinius?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Do you know him?
I am he.
What? You're Eric Sanguinius.
I am Eric Sanguinius.
From the Rodney Marsh, High Vis Tower.
Lord of the High Vis Tower, the very same.
You're joking.
Same. I'm not joking.
No, I'm sorry, I just, I love your work.
Oh, well, thank you.
As a fellow necromancer, I gotta say, like, look, I love my wife, but the idea of being in a tower on my own with a bunch of dead people is very appealing.
It's why I never married. Well, one of many reasons why I never married.
You must, if you meet my mate, you must never tell her I said that, okay?
Oh,
you must promise me. Between us.
Between necromancers.
God, it's like nerds connecting in a board game convention.
So what's your favourite undead?
Ghosts. Has to be the ghast. The ghast I find infinitely superior in terms of movement.
I love a ghast. Do you know, I try to make a couple of skeletons, but I try to do more than one at once. Have you ever tried it?
You're talking to Eric Sanguinius. You're talking to three skeleton Sanguinius.
No. Last time I tried two, and I didn't even make one.
Ah, were you using the right material components?
Well, I must have made a mistake somewhere.
Well, it's all in the semantics.
I was using bone of sparrow.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. Don't use bone of sparrow. Let me tell you a few tricks of the trade. Fade out.
lovely scene.
Getting on. Nice. And so as that scene fades out, you see the Ice Palace in the distance, getting closer as it would if you were walking towards it. As things do, as you move towards them. And as you approach Lady Sub-Zero Susan's Ice Palace, the air grows colder and you see towering ice sculptures flanking the entrance, radiating an ethereal icy glow. And the double doors are crafted from a sort of shimmering blue ice. And as you approach, they open and reveal a grand foyer that you can go into in your sled if you like. This thing is huge. It's sort of fantastical ice sculptures, these elegant columns. And inside, the temperature seems to get even colder. It's freezing in this place. So luckily, you've got your Yeti skins.
Mm.
And another ice mephit, similar to the guy in the bar, comes over. He lands gracefully in front of you.
Welcome to Sub-Zero's palace. How may I be of assistance?
And he takes a deep bow.
Yes, Ghoul. takes a deep bow.
He bows deeper.
Ghoul tunnels into the snow.
he's just like, very good, very good.
I guess we would like to see your leader.
You would like an audience with Lady Susan Sub-Zero?
If that means seeing her, then yeah.
Yes, we seek an audience with the lady herself.
Very well. And do you have an appointment?
Yes.
Yes.
The name on the appointment?
Can I see the list of names of appointments, please? And I will tell you which we are.
It makes absolute sense to me.
Indeed.
And he goes off and he hands you a list.
Yes, yes, here we are, right at the top of the list. What's on the top of the list?
On the top of the list is Viscount Sebastian Blackwood.
Yes, Viscount Sebastian Blackwood. Tis I. Tis me. Hello.
Roll a deception check.
And I'm his dog.
With disadvantage.
Are you really giving me disadvantage? Yeah.
No, I'm going to ignore Chris's comment.
I got a 17.
17. He's just like, Viscount Blackwood.
Indeed.
This way. And he escorts you towards a huge set of doors.
I hold my arms out to be lifted by the others.
I lift him.
Robbie, an athletics check.
Oh, mate, I'm a strong, strong boy. Oh, every time I roll now, I get so nervous. It's going to be a natural one. I'm going to slap you in half.
Yeah.
That is a 19, though.
19, yet you managed to lift Henley. And whilst this is happening, Eric and Paul are at the back. And Paul just leans over to Eric and he's like, what the fuck is going on?
You must adapt, roll quickly with the punches as they come. You must become one with what is happening. We shall be his therapists. And
what, like emotional support?
Yes, we must have some kind of cover story for ourselves.
Okay.
We are his therapists.
Yes, okay, but he has two therapists.
He must have therapists, for he is the Count Blackwater, and as
Sebastian Blackwood,
exactly, and as a result, he must have two therapists of very conflicting views, so that he may see all points of view.
So we're like advisors to
advisors, yes, if you wish. Yes.
Okay, but we call ourselves therapists.
Well,
okay, so what view are you going to take?
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Just one has a sofa, one doesn't.
Eric's lost his fucking mind.
I am quite tired. Yes, so let's just play it by ear.
And in so we much. Go.
And
cool. What are you doing?
I am going to be his emotional support mushroom.
Three therapists.
Three therapists. Very emotionally unstable man.
And a dog. A man who believes himself to be a dog.
We present ourselves, lady.
Not necessarily. With three therapists, you could be exceptionally well balanced.
Yes, that's very true.
As the ice method sort of walks you towards the doors, he just turns and gestures to a large lockbox. You may deposit your weapons in here.
We choose not to.
Then you may not see Lady Susan.
Well, you need to take a lesson on what the word may means. We may deposit our weapons.
Yes. Oh, very well. Deposit your weapons here.
Better. And we do.
Yeah. Yeah, I drop everything.
Yeah, I think and so. He pulls you aside, Henley, and he says, my deepest apologies, sir. I will examine my grammar.
Quite all right. Give me your trousers.
Of course, sir. And he takes his trousers off and he hands them to you.
And I pull them on.
They're like ice methods are small.
Oh. The classic.
I see what shorts
pull it
shorts.
Up to my knees and waddle. And
yeah,
then
you do. You have Yeti shorts.
I do, but now I'm covered from the knee down as well.
Yes.
So I pull those on up to the knees and I say, Glubrick, lift me.
And I lift him.
Another athletics check.
13.
Oh, 13. God. Yeah, it's struggle this time.
You're getting a bit tired.
The muscle recruitment is not what it was. He's getting tired. And you guys walk in, finally.
Eric, I'm feeling a little insecure.
Are you? Well, eat one of these.
What's the therapy? Is it eat?
Before we go in. What's the plan?
Oh, yes, a plan. We forgot that bit. In we go.
And you guys, so you deposited all your weapons.
Yeah. What's happened here is we could have just said, no, we don't have an appointment, but we need to see them for this reason. But instead, we've decided to just go in and pretend to be someone else.
Look, well, that is the happy boy's way. And to be honest, it's got us through seven layers of hell.
That's very true.
I don't see any reason to change the way we roll.
Yep.
And also, isn't Henley wearing lipstick and has also...
Can we just have a quick check on what Henley looks like? Because I think he's in Yeti fur down to the knee.
Yeah. Yep.
Then tiny pair of ice trousers from the knee to the ankle.
Yep.
Yep.
Lipstick.
Yeah. Yep. All over the face.
Yeah. I should have made you roll that with disadvantage, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Now definitely.
I think he maybe took the Doc Martens as well from the rabbit, so he's
got
those on.
The youth of today.
Yeah. He's wearing Doc Martens.
And his hair hands.
He's wearing gloves. Rabbit. He's got one hand, you've got a rabbit's head. The other, you've got its tail.
Wow.
And flanked by three therapists and a Goliath dog.
Going by that description, I think he probably does need three therapists. Because there's something dreadfully wrong.
The Mephit, who's incidentally is called Holdsworth, after one of our Patreon.
Very good.
And so Holdsworth is not phased in the slightest, but he's used to dealing with eccentric, wealthy people.
Yes.
He's just like, absolutely, whatever you need.
The Viscount.
Yeah, yeah.
We should get a move on because at some point the Viscount's going to arrive behind us.
That's true.
I would love if he was exactly the same.
He should be dressed exactly the same. Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah,
and as you approach the main throne room led by Holdsworth, two huge Yetis. Different Yetis. They don't know anything about your Yeti experience. They open some heavy, icy doors and you move into the throne room. And standing guard around the fringes of the room are several imposing ice elementals. And they're carrying spears made of ice. And at the far end of the room, you see a mighty throne. And sat on it is Lady Susan Sub-Zero. She is stroking a huge direwolf that sleeps by her side. It opens its eyes for a second, it regards you lazily, and then it falls back to sleep. Lady Susan is quite a sight to behold. She is tall and thin, and she is made of pure ice. And it's at this point you notice that a single ray of light is coming in from a gap in the ceiling. And this ray shines into Lady Susan, and her crystalline body refracts light around the entire room.
Whoa. Oh, pretty.
And the beams of light dance their way around the room as she moves. So she's like a huge disco ball.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
Very cool.
And she beckons you forward with a graceful gesture. And Holdsworth leads the way, and he kneels.
Okay.
I carry Henley over. Henley, do you want to kneel or shall I just lift you higher?
No, keep me high.
Okay, I lift him high. I should do a check, see if I can hold him.
Yeah, see if you could see this. Do a constitution check, actually.
If this is the one where you go into a rage and slam me into the floor.
No,
smashing
me into like pieces, mallet, then jump out the window and just run off.
What did you get?
I actually got an 18.
Oh, good.
We're safe.
Yeah, the arms are shaking a little, but you still got him up. And Holdsworth says, "Presenting Viscount Sebastian Blackwood,
Lady Sub-Zero Susan.
Greetings, Viscount Blackwood."
I'll cut to the chase.
Yes.
We would like to find some reconciliation between you and the other archdevils so that this lair may return to its previous state of order.
An interesting proposition, Sebastian. I must confess, I wasn't expecting you here so soon.
You could tell that she is eyeing you with a deep suspicion.
Glubik, rotate me away so I'm just not facing her.
I do. Turn away and we're all just now facing the opposite way while talking to her, yeah.
Yes, so, as I was saying, would you tell us exactly why it is this rift has come between you and the other archdevils?
I recently took on a new I'm sorry, could you turn to face me? That can't...
You can't look him in the eye. He has serious trust issues.
Right. My therapists, advise me not to look directly at people. I get very anxious.
Very well, Lord Blackwood. I'll go along with this for now.
Please do.
Tell me, do you believe me to be the rightful ruler of this lair?
One of three, of course, yes.
But the only actual devil amongst the archdevils, no?
Factually accurate, yes.
Therefore, I should be the only archdevil.
I see your reasoning there.
Yes, it's quite sound.
But I would counter with, what if you didn't do that?
That's an interesting point, Sebastian Blackwood. I hadn't really thought of that.
Allow me to elaborate. What if you were, in fact, to believe the opposite?
Okay, now I'm going to get you to roll me a deception check with disadvantage.
Well, what if I suddenly turn him round?
I've got a feeling whatever you're about to say is not going to remove the disadvantage.
20.
Oh,
20.
Not natural, but 20.
Not
the lower.
Wow.
Very, very good. Mm. So she gestures to the rest of the room, the ice elementals, and with a flick of her hand, she just says, "Leave us." And with a very practiced motion, they all exit the room, except for Holdsworth. He stays. Viscount Blackwood, please turn and face me.
Of course, Glubrick.
Yes, Wurv. And I turn and you face. Turn.
And at the back, Paul is with Eric and Ghoul. And he's just like, what is the plan here? What are you trying to do?
Just roll with it, Paul. You'll get there, kid.
All right. All right. I'll just watch this car crash happen in slow motion.
That's pretty much it. You got it.
And Lady Susan is like, Viscount Blackwood, I must confess, I have something rather embarrassing to ask of you.
Mm, go ahead.
I require your help. You see, for millennia, the Lair has been ruled by not a council of archdevils, but just by one. And every single time, that archdevil has had a partner. And I have not a partner. And I would like to find a partner to rule with.
You want me to help you find a partner?
Yes, there is a rather large ball happening in a few days, and there will be some well-to-do acquaintances at the ball, and I would like you and your entourage...
Of therapists.
Of therapists,
and
yes.
And dog.
And let me ask you this. Have you ever been in love?
Yes, I have.
Well, I have never.
Oh.
And I have been alive for many thousands of years.
This is not how I thought this would go.
No, and I am ashamed to say that I need help.
Oh. Well, Lady Susan, Lady Sub-Zero, may I call you Sue?
Oh, of course.
If I were to help you find a romantic partner, would you then perhaps heed my advice and be willing to listen to reason in restoring order to the Lair and reuniting with the other archdevils?
I would be open to a parley, yes.
Well, then I have no choice but to accept. One thing, there is another person falsely claiming to be Sebastian Blackwood.
I'm sorry?
There's an imposter.
An imposter?
About the Lair, yes.
And as it happens, the doors fly open.
Yeah.
And the servant says, presenting Viscount Sebastian Blackwood.
I turn to him and... Power kill! I immediately blast him!
You're using your power kill, Sebastian Blackwood.
My one shot, my one use power kill.
Rather than admit it, you okay? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. What?
So you can keep up the pretense that you're Lord Viscount Sebastian Blackwood.
We're in deep.
We're in so
deep.
What's
the word?
We're in very deep.
Yeah, what is the word for power kill?
What do you say?
Espresso!
Okay, hold on. Let me check my stats for... Okay, yeah. I have made stats for Viscount Sebastian Blackwood.
Not anymore, you haven't.
He has 75 hit points.
Oh, under 100?
It's under 100.
Yeah.
So fuck it. It worked. So tell me what that looks like.
Oh, I turn around, I shout espresso at him. I think he just explodes in a ball of black mist.
Yeah.
Like just gone. Bombed him.
And yeah, and all of his entourage just breathe a sigh of relief and they're just like, oh, thank God. And they all leave.
Oh, thank God I found the imposter and that's all sorted. Neatly tied up.
Lady Susan is aghast. She is just like, this is not etiquette in the throne room.
I apologize most humbly, Lady Sub-Zero Susan. I should not have brought this into your house. Let's put it behind us and forget it ever happened.
I must say, that gentleman who just came in really captured your likeness.
Yes, he did, until he burst into a... Until he burst into black smoke, at which point he looked nothing like me.
Yes, now he looks nothing like you. Holdsworth.
Oh, so funny.
Holdsworth, take Sebastian and his entourage to the guest quarters.
And send up a towel.
And yes, ensure Sebastian Blackwood and his entourage have everything they need.
Thank you.
Follow me.
I hold up my arms.
Glubrick lifts.
Here we go.
Lift it. Give me another one.
Okay, 24.
Yeah, hoists him up with expertise. Meanwhile, at the back of the group with Eric and Ghoul, Paul turns to you and is like, I see what you mean, yeah. Just keep rolling with it and something will happen, won't it?
Yes. Those things that happen aren't always good.
Right. Okay.
But on this occasion, I think we seem to be in a good situation. We have to just maintain this deception for a few
more days.
Do
you guys know how to like dance and be in a ball?
I think Henley does. Yes, Henley. I know. I'm well aware. I've attended many a ball in my time. A gavotte, a galliard.
Very good.
However, I fear my entourage may not be so well refined and experienced and educated in their ball etiquette.
Yes, I must say, Viscount Sebastian Blackwood, that I don't recognize your entourage.
No, they're new. Craigslist.
Ah, Craigslist.
He does have a good list.
He does have a good list. Best list in the nine hells. So, will you need some help?
I will indeed.
Lest you be embarrassed at the ball.
They're very helpless, this lot, aren't they? Display your dance abilities.
I do a bit of a dance.
I'm not going to get anyone, because presumably you're trying to dance badly, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, Ghoul just hops up and down.
Yeah, it's just like you're bouncing, and then Paul is with you. He's just like, fuck, what is this?
Ghoul just elbows him in the ribs.
Oh no, he takes 76 damage.
Oh shit.
Sorry, Paul.
I'll be getting the stats up for Paul.
He's going to learn his fucking lesson there.
27 damage.
Cool. Whoa. Paul's down.
Drag Paul along, would you? Yes. We shall retire to our quarters.
I grab Paul and drag him along.
You drag him along. So you're dropping Henley, hoisting Paul over your shoulder. Guys take him off.
Okay, we shuffle away.
And the happy boys shall go to their greatest challenge yet. To learn how to dance.
Alright, thank you for listening to episode 30 of Hell or High Rollers. My name is Dave Hearn and I am your GM. Eric Sanguinius was played by Adam Megiddo, Ellie Morris as Ghoul, Henry Shields as Henley Whispers, and Chris Leesk as Glubrick Bumbledung. If you are enjoying this podcast, head on over to our Patreon page where you can sign up and become a Patreon subscriber. And in doing so, you get a whole bunch of extra goodies, including a side campaign run by the wonderful Henry Shields, some DM notes written by me and curated by the wonderful Gareth Tempest. You'll also get access to your whole bunch of extra lore and side campaigns and little extra bits and pieces should you wish to wet your creative whistle in the Hell or High Rollers universe. And while you're at the Patreon page, you might want to check out our Discord where you can chat with other fellow Patreons, legends like Alexander Wood, Lottie aka Baby Pegacorn, Tyler Ryan, Mrs. Susan Ann Anderson, Cheryl Tang, Nat, Danny, Bethany Dowles, Laurie, Abby, Merritt Skeen, and Brendan Hood. The show is produced by the wonderful Gareth Tempest, and the theme song is by my good friend Max Runham. Love you all, thank you, and good night.
When you get through 9 layers of hell, you'll have a hell of a story to tell. You're heading back to life, back to the grind, but it ain't that like you knew so well. Keep telling myself to stay strong. Where I belong.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.